Okay, cool. So praise the Lord. So we're going to spend a day getting into the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible is amazing. There's no book like it on the planet in the history of man. It stands alone. It's a very unique thing. And it's really crucial to our experience. So I want to talk about a couple Bible facts. And so some basics about the Bible. This is kind of common knowledge stuff. So, how long is the Bible? How many books are in the Bible? Does anyone know? What was that? 66, okay. And the Bible's in a couple sections, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. How many books are in the Old? 39. It means 27 in the New. And like I said, this is not a common book. It's a unique book. It's not just a single book, but it's made up of these 66 books put together. And it was written over a period of time of at least 1,500 years, possibly more. It was written by over 40 different authors, all different backgrounds, different roles, different careers. Some were kings, some were priests or prophets, and some were just common men, like a fisherman. And some, it's unknown. Some of the books of the Bible, it's not definitively known who wrote those books. There are some ideas about who those people might be, but some are just, the Bible just doesn't indicate. So from at least 1400 BC, the first books of the Bible were written, and then up to close to 100 years after the numbering of the years, AD 90 or 95, some estimate. How many chapters are in the Bible? Does anyone know that? So one source reported 1,189 chapters, almost 1,200 chapters, over 600,000 words long is the Bible, up to 700,000, depending on how you estimate it. And there's different sections of the Bible too, right? So at the beginning of the Bible, the way it's commonly arranged, you have the books of Moses, or the books of law. You have the books of history, which report the history of God's people and some other historical events about those locations and some wars and things like that, some human history events. And then you have the books of wisdom or the books of poetry. And then you have the books of the prophets. You have the major prophets and the minor prophets. And that's mainly the Old Testament. And then the New Testament, you have the Gospels. You have the Acts, which are kind of included with the Gospels, the letters, the epistles, and the book of Revelation. So many different sections of the Bible. What's the longest book of the Bible?
By words or by chapters?
Oh. You've done this before. Okay, by chapters, what's the longest book?
Psalms.
But by words, it's not the same. Oh, this one knows it.
Jeremiah.
And in the books of history, you have 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Samuel. And some believe that those were actually written as one continuous book, and then it was split into two later. And if you actually combine some of those, I think the longest one is Kings. Yeah, Kings. Those books have over 32,000 words. So, long books. And it's also the best-selling book in all of human history. It's hundreds of millions of copies. They say there's about 20 million copies sold or distributed in the U.S. every year. And so the number of Bibles that have been printed and circulated it's almost incalculable. It's also another fun fact. It's one of the most stolen books. Yeah, because there's so many of them around, but they're stolen. You know, you see them in hotel rooms. They've been taken also drugstores and other kind of stores. So that's another fact of the Bible. Also, the Bible contains some facts about history, historical places, also scientific facts. Let me see. In Isaiah 40:22, It says he's enthroned above the circle of the earth. So even in that time, it was indicating that the world was round. And then it even says, or it indicates that that earth is in outer space. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but in Job 26, it says he hangs the earth upon nothing. He suspends it upon nothing. It means nothing's holding there. It's just in a void. So that was a really interesting fact. So so the Bible is well known around the world. But how well do we know it, and what do we know about this book? Well, as Christians, it has something very special to our experience. And when we believe into the Lord, we receive a new life and we're regenerated. And we have certain inheritance when we believe into God, when you receive the life of Christ in you. And one of those primarily is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which now indwells you, is within. He's invisible. He's ungraspable. But outside of us, we have the Bible in our hands, outside of us. It's practical. It's tangible. We have it. And we need these two things for our Christian existence and for our growth and development as believers and as servants of God. Amen. So these two things go together. You could think of it as a locomotive. You know, within, it has the internal power of the engine causing it to move, but outside, the train needs the tracks, or else it can't go very far without either one. In the same way, we need the Spirit within, and we need the Bible without in order to grow. And these words in the Bible are not just plain words of themselves, just written down. But in John 6:63, it says, "The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Amen. So there already you have the Word and you have the Spirit. Amen. And Christians are unique among mankind because we have this Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So in a way, we have a very special view and have special access to the revelations in the Bible. So how about let's read the first verse on your sheet under 1A and 2 Timothy. Ready? Go ahead.
Scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
So, a couple interesting things. So, sometimes this verse is translated, it is inspired by God. So that's more of a, that's not a bad translation. It's not a bad word to say it that way. But it's almost like an inspiration as an idea or a motivation. But what this verse is secretly revealing is that the word of God is God himself breathed out these words. They are the God breathed out words. So today he is breathing out and we need to be breathing in. And the Spirit himself, the word Spirit kind of means breath, right? So again, we need to exercise our spirit to receive these words. And then go ahead and read John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So praise the Lord. In the beginning, when was that? It was before anything, you could say. Whatever anything is, it was before. It was in the beginning. And the Word has a special relationship with God. It says the Word was with God. So God and the Word are very closely related, even so closely related that the Word was God. Amen. So this Word that we have is actually God himself.
Amen.
And so if we want to know God, we need to know this Word. Not just know in the objective facts outwardly, but we need to know it by the Spirit inwardly. Okay, Romans 2, the Bible being the speaking from God by men born by the Holy Spirit. So let's read the verse in 2 Peter.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever born by the will of man, but man spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And this was such an impressive verse to me. This is kind of central in my mind this morning. And the part I want to highlight is that last phrase, men spoke from God being born by the Holy Spirit. So a couple things I want to highlight here. In this verse, you have man and you have God. So this verse, you could say, illustrates the relationship of God and man in a special way. Man is speaking from God. So can man speak for God? Can man speak God? The answer here is yes. So we see that man can speak for God. So that is the special function that God is looking for. He's looking even today for men to speak not from themselves, not from their own will or their own ideas or their own inventions, but God needs men who will speak from God. And then the other part, being born by the Holy Spirit. So born with an E, B-O-R-N-E. What does that word mean? Anyone?
Carried about.
Carried about. It's the word that's related to bear, if you're bearing something. Like if you're bearing a load on your back. But it says that men were born or carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, just a moment ago, I said that the Spirit was within. But in this verse, it sounds like the Spirit is without side of man, bearing man along. So that's very important here. And that man's role of being born is passive. He's being born by the Spirit in the sense that the Spirit is the one doing the work. The Spirit is the one bearing men. So how can we be born by the Holy Spirit? How can the Spirit carry us along? And the Spirit outside that's carrying us along is not different from the Spirit that's within. That power is the same Spirit that is within. Okay? So we need to know the Spirit. We want to be the ones that are born or carried along by the Spirit. In 2 Samuel 23:2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, and his word was in my tongue." So again, you have a man speaking for God, and it says God or the Spirit spoke through me, and his word was in my tongue. So that's a wonderful revelation. Our tongue can have God's word in it. We need a tongue that has God's word. We need a reconstituted tongue.
Amen.
You know, our tongue is one book says that, you know, your tongue could be unbridled, which means what is a bridle? It's what you attach to a horse so you can put the reins on it to control it. So if it's unbridled, it just means it's running free, running wild. So we don't want to be unbridled. And this is part of our training as Christians also. But we want to have the words of God on our tongue. Not words of reviling or words of cursing, but the words of God. And so men of God don't speak from themselves. And we can also see this pattern in the Lord Jesus and even the Spirit himself. In John 16:13, we'll get to that verse again later, but it says, the Spirit does not speak from himself. And in John 5:19, it says, the Son can do nothing of himself except what he sees the Father doing. And in 8:28, he says, I do nothing from myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. So following this way is just following the pattern that the Lord Jesus took also. Amen. Also indicating that the source of these words is God the Father himself. And another verse I was touched by concerning speaking for the Lord is 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, being always ready for a defense to everyone who asks of you an account concerning the hope which is in you. So we need to have these words within us so we can be ready to offer of anyone who asks of us and to offer a defense of the faith that we have. So all this is to say, well, what is the origin of the Bible? What is the origin of our speaking? We don't speak from ourselves. We have to speak from God, words that are from God. We could be the channel. We could be the vessel, the vehicle, the conduit, the transportation. But we are not the contents. We can be the container, but we cannot be the contents or the source. You know, there's so many generating content. You know, people that are YouTubers, they call them content creators. So in the sense of standing for God, we don't create any of the content. We don't create the contents, but we are the containers. And the container should express what it contains. So we need to be filled with God. Okay, so Romans 3, the Bible being God speaking in the prophets and in the Son. And let's read the verse there. The first verse there.
God having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers and the prophets has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son, whom Amen. He appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the universe.
Amen. Amen. So much is in these verses themselves. I don't even have to say these much. I'm just trying to highlight what's in the Word of God itself. So in the having spoken of old, so in the Old Testament, in many portions, so many times throughout the Bible, God has spoken, and he spoke on a number of topics in a number of ways, exhorting, condemning, instructing, even foretelling. In many ways, how many different ways did God speak in the Old Testament? He didn't speak in the same way. You know, he spoke from the cloud. He spoke in a burning bush. You could say he spoke through the donkey of Balaam. He spoke in dreams. He even spoke in person at some times or spoke in an angel. But who appeared to Abraham? You know, they spoke openly to one another. He was the friend of God. So he spoke in many ways. To the fathers and the prophets, so all the key figures in the Old Testament. But in the last of these days, he's spoken to us in the Son. Amen. And in the Greek that it was written in, you can see that there's actually not an article there. It just says spoken in Son. So the Son is like how God speaks to us. He speaks in the language of Son. The Son is the explanation of God. And I remember a brother speaking that stuck with me a number of years ago. He says, when God speaks to you, what language does he speak in? He speaks in Bible. God's language is Bible. So if you want God speaking, if you want God to speak to you, we need to know the Bible. We need to have these constituted into our minds and even into our tongues. Amen. And then, I think there's a second verse there. I have my note sheet. I don't have the action. Is it Isaiah? Let's read the verses from Isaiah.
The Lord Jehovah
has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord Jehovah has opened my ear, it goes on to say, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn back. But he awakens me morning by morning. So this is spoken by Isaiah, but Isaiah is actually a type of Christ as the servant of God. So this verse actually speaks of the experience of the Lord Jesus. Even the Lord Jesus, morning by morning, was awakened to spend some time with the Lord. Lord Jesus had morning revival every day. And so this is how we obtain the tongue of the instructed ones. This is how we get a cleansed, sanctified tongue, as we spend time seeking the Lord, exercising to touch him, being filled with him morning by morning. Not just one time, not just for a period of time, but daily and ongoing. He has opened my ear, so we need to hear the words of God. We need to be open to his speaking, and we need to be not rebellious. We need to obey the words that the Lord has for us. And what is this for? This is to speak a word to sustain the weary. And speaking as an instructed word, one, it means we don't go to ones as a professor, as a teacher, as an instructor. We go as an instructed one, a pupil, a trainee, a learner. We always need to be a learner, even when we're speaking to others. because we're the ones being trained and learning. All right. Amen. So that's my time. So we need to be open to the one who speaks, the one who is the source himself, so that we can be reconstituted to have an instructed tongue. And in our natural state, our tongues are not instructed. They're not restrained. And the ministry goes on in so many portions to say how much our tongues are just running free, speaking not words of sustaining, words of building up, but words of reviling, words that that tear down. Amen. But he desires to gain his elect, the ones that are instructed by his word, to be his people, to be his city, to be his kingdom. Amen. So if we don't have ones speaking for the Lord, then there's just going to be all this other kinds of speaking, and we'll just be like common unbelievers. Amen. Okay. I think I'll just leave that there. I really enjoyed some portions on that. But we'll go on to point four, the Bible being the Holy Spirit's revelation. And here's John 16, so let's read that verse. But when he, the Spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all the reality. For he will not speak from himself, but what he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. So when we approach the Bible, we don't even have to try to apply our own intellect to decode the Bible, but we have a helper. We have a guide. We have the Spirit of reality that will guide us into all the reality. Amen. But this Spirit is contacted by our human spirit. And so as we awaken morning by morning to spend time with the Lord, we need to exercise to get all the rich portions of the Word. We don't need to just read the Word. We need to read the Word with prayer. Exercising our spirit to get all the richness. You know, there's that verse that says, that speaks of the milk of the word. Well, this is not a skim milk. This is a full fat, rich milk. It's a full nourishing portion. And every spirit, every verse in the Bible can get nourishment to you. And so this word is complete. The revelation of the New Testament has been completed. It was spoken and it was written down by men according to the commandment of God, even out of God's mouth himself. So the whole Bible originates with God, and every word and every sentence, every dot and tittle is from God and is inspired by God. Matthew 5:18 says, until heaven and earth shall pass away, one iota, one seraph shall by no means pass away from the law until all come to pass. So this word is not a passing away word. And we should never add anything to it or subtract anything from it. So we need to be balanced and complete in our speaking. And let's read the verses from Revelation there.
I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this scroll. And if anyone takes away from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this scroll.
Amen. So we need to have our human spirit as the preeminent part of our being. And as we do so, the Lord will be our source and will be the origin of everything we speak. And as we spend time with him, he will fill us with his word and we will be constituted to speak his word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.